This sermon has been revised. The current version is 3:20:14.
Today is December 31st, year 2006, and it's a Sunday within the octave of Christmas. And we're going to talk about today, which I mentioned last year in several other sermons, that every time that Christmas comes around, especially when God first started to convert me to Him, I started to really love Jesus and Mary for the first time in my life. At least, I think I did when I was young too, but this is since the conversion, and I really understood during Christmas time, it always felt to me, as I always say, is like the Passion. It's really not like Christmas. It's always like the Passion, because especially around Christmas time, we see all these false devotions and blasphemies and hypocrites. We're not even talking about the blasphemies of the apostate Jews and the Muslims, in particular, mostly the apostate Jews, because they're in power now, and they're the ones that are able to control the media and put on these blasphemous TV shows that deny Christ is God and the Messiah, which they did again. They repeated that blasphemous show that they had on last year. Okay, so you're getting Christ being crucified during Christmas, but the worst part is that He is being hypocritically praised and adored by people who profess to believe in Him, but they're no better than the Talmud of Jews, or even really worse. They're giving Him a false devotion. We're going to talk about that mostly today. I just want to make a brief mention that my daily scripture readings, which I always say I read every day, and starting on Christmas Day, was my daily reading that day was the beginning of the Passion of our Lord. And it went on through Christmas Day, the day after Christmas, up to the Holy Innocents. So I've been reading about the Passion of our Lord. It just happened to fall into this cycle again. It's almost like when Francis of Assisi used to always open up the Bible and he would go to the Passion. Well, every Christmas time, it seems like my daily readings or something's always relating to the Passion. So what I'm going to try to, we're going to speak about today is how all these so-called Christians, and we know Protestants and other heretics and apostates and schismatics are not real Christians. They're not Christians at all because they believe in a false Jesus. And we're going to talk about how our Lord's being actually hypocritically worshipped and adored by them. It's a false worship. It's a false adoration. And we know that they're not giving real glory to the infant Jesus. We were briefly talking about that yesterday, and we'll start out with all the people out there that are pretending to celebrate Christmas. Protestants, schismatics, nominal Catholics. And when I use the word nominal Catholics, I mean Catholics that are not true Catholics. They're heretics and they're apostates or they're schismatics. But they still profess themselves to be Catholic. But they're not, because they're a heretic, they're holding on to one heresy, or they're in schism, one or more heresies. And it only takes one heresy to fall outside the church and be a non-Catholic. Okay, so you're talking about these particular groups of people that are singing Christmas carols, they're telling Jesus, the infant babe in Bethlehem, how much they love Him, how much they adore Him, how much they worship Him, and they really actually hate the true Jesus, and they hate the true infant, the true babe of Bethlehem. They don't love Him at all. The infant Jesus that they are adoring is a false Jesus. So the true Jesus abhors them even the most, because they're professing to believe in the infant, singing all these Christmas carols, talking about how much they love our Lord God and our Lord Jesus, while at the same time they're denying dogmas, which is exactly the same as denying Jesus Christ Himself. You deny one dogma, it's as if you deny them all, and you become a heretic, and you're a non-Catholic, and you fall outside the Catholic Church. This is the type of false adoration he's getting. And my point is, if you listen to them sing the Christmas carols, if you listen to them sing their hymns, they sound like they really love Jesus, but in reality, they hate Him. In reality, they're spitting upon the true Jesus. They're mocking the true Jesus. They're calling the true Jesus a liar. They're no different than the original crucifiers of our Lord. And our Lord said that in Mark 7:6, these people profess to know Me with their lips, but in their hearts they deny Me, teaching the doctrines and precepts and traditions of men, which is heresies. So Jesus is saying, you profess that you're a Catholic, or you profess that you're a Christian, you're a Protestant or schismatic, but you're not a Christian at all. And you're not a Catholic at all if you're holding on to heresies. You're denying Me, the true Christ. He says, St. Paul says in Titus 1:16, he says, they profess that they know God, but in their works they deny Him, being abominable, incredulous, and to every good work reprobate. So I see the worst type of thing happening to Jesus is, it's all bad. It's not even just the Talmud of Jews and Muslims blaspheming Jesus by saying He's not the Messiah and the Son of God. That's bad enough, and that's certainly evil. But it's even worse when you have these people who profess to believe in Jesus, and even more deceptive. If you turn on any of these Christmas carol shows, they're all heretics singing Christmas carols. And they're singing to a Jesus, a false Jesus, who didn't teach what they believe in. When you're a heretic and you deny one dogma, you're already no longer even a Christian. You don't even believe in the true Jesus. For instance, if you're like the schismatics, did not accept the primacy of the papacy, and they fell out of the church. The Protestant Luther believed you can be saved by faith alone, without deeds. All right, he fell out of the church on that one heresy alone, and he developed many other heresies before that. So Martin Luther's Jesus teaches that you can be saved without doing good works. That's not a true Jesus. You understand? Our Lord even said it in 1 John 4:3. He says, every spirit that dissolves Jesus is not of God. And this is the Antichrist. Every spirit. And we're going to particularly dwell upon nominal Catholics. All the traditionalists, all the Vatican tours, all the Sedi Vacantist sects that hold on to heresies, all of these people today in the world that profess themselves to be Catholic are actually heretics, apostates, or schismatics, and a combination of any of the above. And they all hold on to one or more heresies, and every one of them during this Christmas, instead of really adoring the infant who they think they're adoring, singing all their hymns, they're spitting all over the true infant, they're mocking him, they're insulting him, they're calling him a false Messiah and a false God, the true Jesus. They don't see it, but that's what they're doing. And worst of all, they're presenting to the world this infant Jesus that's a non-judgmentalist or a Jesus who didn't institute, in particular the Vatican, two people that deny papal infallibility by believing that a future pope can come along and publicly teach heresy and still be the pope. Or worse, don't even call him a heretic for teaching heresies. The big thing you see with the nominal Catholics today, which even proves their own hypocrisy, their own hatred towards Jesus, the true Jesus, because they really don't love the faith. And when you don't love the faith, you don't love the true Jesus, you have no right to the Holy Sacrifice in the Mass. You have no right to confession. You're trying to use these things to justify yourselves while you're denying the true Jesus on the other hand. So you're receiving sacrilegiously. And you're getting false consolations on top of it. How many times has Jesus said that without the faith, and we're going to just quote a couple verses from here. Jesus says throughout the whole era of the fallen of mankind, from the Old Covenant era and the Old Testament era to now, that anybody who offers up holocaust to him, if their heart is not obedient to him, he does not only does he not accept the holocaust or the Holy Mass, he absolutely abhors the people that are offering it and throws curses down upon them. And then they're guilty of the crime of hypocrisy and sacrilege. This is throughout history. We read in Proverbs 28:9 that our Lord says, he who turneth away his ear from hearing the law, his prayer shall be an abomination to God. In Proverbs 1:28, our Lord says, they shall seek me, and when they shall seek me, they shall not find me, and I will not hear them, he says. I will not hear them. And why does God not hear their prayers, their adorations, their Christmas carols, all their pious-sounding words? Because they've turned away their ears from hearing the law of God. And the law of God means, first and foremost, the first three commandments, which is you must profess belief in the true God and hold to every single one of the church's, Catholic Church's dogmas. You must be a Catholic, that's first and foremost. And then you must obey the moral laws and all the other laws, all of God's commandments. We're going to talk about briefly, and we're going to get back to this in a second, about even bad Catholics. Bad Catholics are the ones who I speak about are obstinately living in mortal sin. And they are justifying their mortal sins, and they're not in the least bit trying to overcome them. Are they really giving true adoration to the infant Jesus? You know, they come around to the stable once a year and they get these warm little cozy feelings and tell Jesus, I really love you, Jesus. I love you so much. You're the true God. And they have tears in their eyes and all this. And at the same time, they're plotting their next mortal sins in their own mind. Let's take, for instance, the bad Catholics, many of them that existed before Vatican II. In the 1800s and going into the 1700s, you had many bad Catholics. And in the history of church, you really had mostly bad Catholics, especially in these days of the great apostasy, even before Vatican II. And I've seen these people, I grew up with them. They go to Mass on Sunday, and during the week they sin like pigs. Some of them only go to Mass on Christmas and Easter. You know, but the point is, all of these people, when they're going during Christmas, they seem to always have a more warm heart for Jesus, or a little bit of a devotion. And they come before the crib, and they pretend that they love him, tears are in their eyes. And let's say this particular person's committing fornication with his girlfriend, or the girlfriend with the boyfriend. Or the one guy's a mafia guy and he's stealing and he's robbing and he's lying and he's cheating and stealing. And on Christmas he gets a little warm feeling, sings a couple Christmas carols, tells Jesus how much he loves him, and he's plotting his very next mortal sin, which he's going to commit that very night when he leaves them to the church. That very night he's going to go out and fornicate. Does this guy really love the holy infant Jesus? What is he doing to Jesus? He's crucifying the infant. He's spitting all over him. Now these bad Catholics are still worshiping the true Jesus, but they're spitting on the true Jesus. And that's, is that any better? I mean, that's bad in itself. Sins against the faith are even worse. But I'm just saying it starts out with a whole bunch of bad Catholics, and then eventually you get enough of them and they start losing their faith. Boom, just like that. And then they're outside the church. So how many of these people come before Jesus on Christmas with this nice cozy feeling? And they make even these promises about how they're going to be good, some of them. And they go right out the very night and the next day and start committing the same sins without really any firm purpose of amendment. And what does the Catholic Church teach about that anyway? About true confession. For your confession to be true, you must have a firm purpose of amendment. So if you're, and all these pagans even, they can know how evil they are. Because all these New Year's resolutions they make, they cannot keep them during the year. They end up breaking them. Once in a while they keep one or two. But they always make jokes about it. How long did it take you to break your New Year's resolution, you see? So I'm particularly concerned here about all these people that profess themselves, and we're going to not talk even about the Protestants now or the Schismatics. You know, anybody who even can consider himself somewhat of good or understands Protestant Schismatics are not Catholics and are outside the church. We're going to really talk about people who call themselves Catholics and are not nominal Catholics. Okay, we already just spoke about bad Catholics, but now we're going to go back to the nominal Catholics. That all the people that belong to the Vatican II Church, all the traditionalist sects, each and every one of them, all of the Sedi Vacantist sects that believe in one or more heresies, every one of these people are the most abominable people in the eyes of the true infant Jesus. If Jesus could come up out of his crib when they're going around it, he'd spit in their face. He'd punch them in their head. He'd knock them down off their feet. And you know what? They should, if Jesus really actually did that, they should thank him. Because then he's allowing them to know, you don't please me. I abhor you. You're an abomination in my eyes. I just punched you in your eye. I just spit in your face. I chastised you. I punished you. I showed you that all your phony baloney piety is disgusting to me. But Jesus does not do that to them. Why? Because they're under the operation of the error, because they would believe lying, so God allowed them to fall under the operation of error. 2 Thessalonians 1, 8-9. And he says, because you would not believe the truth, he allows the Antichrist to deceive you with lying signs and wonders, and he sends an operation of error upon you so that you would believe lying because you would not believe the truth. So because, and our Lord says, my prophets have spoke to you, and you did not listen to their words. So therefore our Lord says in Isaiah, I will not listen to you. Why should I listen to you if you have not listened to the, if you're not professing the Catholic faith? If you're denying one or more dogmas? If you're praying, knowingly praying in communion with notorious heretics, or you're not even making the least, you're not in the least bit interested in the faith and what those believe in, the church in whom you're praying with. Why should Jesus owe you anything? And Jesus says, because you have not listened to the simple truth, I'm going to give you false consolations. I'm going to let you have a little warm, cozy feeling. I'm going to make you think that you're really adoring and worship, that you're infant, when in reality, if you can see the way God looks at you, he spits in your face. He abhors you. You are absolutely disgusting to God. And we are now going to talk about how, and what are we really talking about here? The faith comes before the Mass. The faith comes before any false devotions, prayers or anything. If you're praying but you don't have the full deposit of faith, and you don't have any goodwill, God doesn't hear your prayers. I just quoted you two verses for you to understand that. And we're going to read a couple of biblical verses to prove that. This is during the Old Covenant era, but the same thing happens during the New Covenant era. God institutes the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass to edify good Catholics and to help those who are mortal sin or of good will, they still can't receive yet, to get graces to repent and convert. But the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and the Holocaust and the Old Covenant are only for those who receive them worthily or of good will. And if you went and pretended to just receive these things and think God's going to accept you just because of that, but you don't have to obey his commandments, these very holy things that God has given us, like the Holy Mass, become a curse to you. That's throughout the scripture. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:27, he who eateth the body of the Lord and drinketh his blood unworthy is guilty of the body and blood of the Lord, is guilty of sacrilege. And we're going to read about this verse in Ecclesiasticus 34:24. The offering of him that sacrifices of a thing wrongfully gotten is stained, and the mockeries of the unjust are not acceptable. The Lord is only for them who wait upon him in the way of truth and justice. The Most High approveth not the gifts of the wicked, neither hath he respect for the oblations of the unjust, nor will he be pacified for sins by the multitude of the sacrifices. He's telling each and every one of these traditionalists, this was the Old Covenant, they were offering up the strict rules, the strict Holocaust, and God says, I ain't listening to it, I'm not accepting it, I don't even receive it, I'm not even expiate one of your sins because of it, and you're heaping on sin upon sin every time you offer the Holocaust unworthily. That's the Catholic Church teaching even. Mortal sinners are not allowed to receive the Holy Eucharist under pain of sacrilege. Priests in mortal sin are not even allowed to offer Mass. Heretical priests are forbidden to legally offer Mass even. If they do it, they're sinning against God. All right, so how often does our Lord teach us this? He also says in some other verses here, I desired knowledge of God more than holocausts. OC 6:6. Again, the beginning of a good way is to do justice. And this is more acceptable to God than to offer sacrifices. The sacrifices of the wicked are abominable because they are offered in wickedness. Proverbs 16:5 and 21:17. What's he saying here? You can give me devotions. You can pray, sing Christmas carols. You can go before the altar and do benedictions. You can bow down and kiss the holy babe and all that. But if you're not obedient to our Lord's commandments, each and every one of them, our Lord says, I abhor you. You are abominable to me. And I'm telling you people out there that are getting these consolations, you are under this operation of error, and God hasn't punished you because he doesn't see you right now as worthy of even trying to convert because you wouldn't listen to the truth. So I'm saying, put aside your trust in your false consolations. If you're holding one heresy, or if you're praying in communion with anybody that holds heresies, you're outside the Catholic Church, you're in mortal sin, and you're not pleasing to God. How many of you people and these heretics are... Let's look at the hypocrisy. And people don't realize that for hypocrisy alone, you will go to hell. Job says in Job 13:6, and it says, the hypocrite shall not come before the presence of the Lord. The hypocrite. The liar. How many times, 2 Corinthians 6, 9-11, he says, the unjust shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And he includes in that liars. Just simply liars. God hates liars. A hypocrite is a liar. A hypocrite is somebody who says, I believe in this dogma, but at the same time, he's in religious communion with another person who doesn't believe the dogma. And he doesn't denounce him as a heretic, and he doesn't condemn him for teaching heresy. That our Lord calls hypocrisy. The church calls it a sin of omission, in which you share equally in the guilt of the person whom you did not admonish, which is one of the spiritual acts of mercy of admonishing the sinner. So you sit in church, and you all get together, the SSP10, the Sedi Vacant groups, the conservative Vatican II wingers, and the fraternity St. Peter, and the Society of St. John, they all get together and say, we're all Catholics. Well, how could that be? It's even illogical according to their own professions of whatever truths they are believing in. For instance, the Society of St. Pius X, they believe in the dogma in the dogma that it's heresy to separate the church from the state, and God doesn't give men the right to religious liberty, to worship false gods. They believe in that. But they nevertheless will be in communion with the Society of St. John, the Fraternity of St. Peter, and other groups that don't believe in that. And you have the St. Benedict Centers that believe in the dogma. But they're in communion with all these other groups that don't believe in the dogma and say you can go to church and pray with them. By their own admission, they're saying that these people are denying dogmas, but they don't say you're denying dogmas. They don't say you're teaching heresy. They don't denounce them as heretics. Where is your love of God in all of this? This is the biggest sin that most of them are committing. They think they have this, what I call, a false ecumenism. They all believe in different heresies, contradicting dogmas, some of the dogmas that one believes and one doesn't believe, and they all go to church and pray with one another. You think this is pleasing to God? Catholic Church calls this a sin of omission. And you're sinning also by association, by praying in communion with heretics.
And hence you're a formal heretic.
Which the Church absolutely forbids for you to knowingly pray in communion with heretics. And don't let anybody tell you anything different. You're in church praying next to somebody, and like these apostate Diamond Brothers and all these other people are going into Vatican II churches. Eastern Rite churches that have valid masses. They're going into those churches in which people believe Muslims worship the true God, the Old Covenant is still in effect, Talmud of Judaism is a true religion, the Jews have every right to be looking forward to their false Messiah, men have the right to religious liberty, pagans and Jews can get to heaven without believing in Jesus, and the Diamond Brothers are praying in a mass with those people. And they have the audacity to think that they love the infant Jesus. The infant Jesus spits all over these people. He says, you don't love me. How could you love me if you go to Mass and you just give me lip service that you love me, and the guy next to you is denying me? He's calling me Allah, or he's calling me Buddha, or he's calling me the Talmudic Jewish God. And you're praying with that guy. You're in religious communion with that guy. The Church always forbids Catholics to pray in communion with notorious heretics and apostates. And we're going to quote a couple of verses on that. We're going to quote the Third Council, Infallible Third Council of Constantinople, 680-681 AD. If any ecclesiastic or layman shall go into the synagogue of the Jews or the meeting house of heretics to join in prayer with them, let him be deposed and deprived of communion. If any bishop or priest or deacon shall join in prayer with heretics, let him be suspended from communion.
And the invalid.
Fifth Lateran Council. And since truth cannot contradict truth, We define that every statement contrary to the enlightened truth of the faith is totally false, and we strictly forbid teaching otherwise to be permitted. We decree that all those who cling to erroneous statements of this kind, thus sowing heresies, which are wholly condemned, should be avoided in every way, and punished as detestable and odious heretics and infidels who are undermining the Catholic faith, undermining the true Jesus.
Apostate antipope.
Pius X says the same thing, 11th, in Mortalium Animos. He forbids any intercourse with those who profess a mutilated and corrupt version of Christ's teaching, as St. John did. He said, everyone knows that John himself, the apostle of love, who seems to reveal in the gospel the secrets of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, who never ceased to impress on the memories of his followers the new commandment, love one another, altogether forbade any intercourse with those who profess the mutilated and corrupt version of Christ's teaching. If any man come to you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, nor say to him, Godspeed you. We ask, can men who follow contrary opinions belong to one and the same federation of the faithful? And he was quoting 2 John or 1 John 1:9-11. And he's saying, you cannot, if you're praying in communion knowingly with people that are heretics, you are sharing in their heresies by sins of omission and by association, because you're uniting yourself with them to prayer. So all these people, and they know what I'm talking about, all these people that hold the dogma are going to SSP 10 chapels, and these priests don't hold the dogma. They believe a Buddhist and a Jew can get to heaven while he denies Jesus Christ. A Talmud of Jews says Christ is not God. He was a phony baloney. He was a liar. You're praying in communion with people who believe that kind of a Jew could be saved. And then you're telling Jesus on Christmas Day, I love you, Jesus. I'm singing all these Christmas hymns. Christ hates it. You're stabbing him. You're killing him. That's to me, and I'll say it, you're reliving the passion all over again. You've turned Christ's Christmas into a total passion. The whole world now is crucifying Christ. And I'm not even talking about those who don't profess belief in Christ. The worst ones are the ones I'm talking about, who when you turn on the TV or you go to these masses, you really think they love Jesus. And they go back and say, you know what that guy who's sitting next to you believes in? Just open your mouth that God has given you and fulfill your obligation to profess the Catholic faith and ask him what he believes in. And when he tells you something that's heretical, know then that he's a notorious heretic. Denounce him. And you go back the very next week to that church, you're in mortal sin. You're already in mortal sin for not even fulfilling an obligation. So all these people, why they're in mortal sin, it's we call affected ignorance. They all know that people are denying dogmas in there. They just don't want to talk to the people because they don't want to have to hear it out of their mouth. And this is the other reason why these people are in heresy. This is the other thing that they're committing. They're denying their obligation to profess the Catholic faith. That obligation is perfectly stated in Leviticus 5:1. If anyone sin and hear the voice of one swearing, is obliged to condemn that person. If not, he will bear his iniquity. Ezekiel 3:17 to 19, you can read that. Son of man, tell the wicked people their sins. The wicked man his sins. And if you do not tell him nor speak to him, you will be guilty of his own sin. That also is one of the ways you share in other people's sins, is by sins of omission. So by going into these churches, and you don't have to profess the faith to everybody or cast your pearls to swine, but the people you are obliged to profess your faith to are your immediate friends, family members, and the people of who you're praying in communion with are the most important. The ones you consider to be brothers in Christ or the ones that you're praying in communion with. If anybody, those are the very first people that you are obliged, first for the glory of God, then your own soul, and for their own sake. So what the Diamond Brothers and apostates like this are saying, just go into the church and don't speak to the people, and you can continue to go there. But by telling them you can't give them financial support, they're knitting the churches in the Catholic Church. So what are they doing? They're praying with heretics. They're participating in sacrilegious receptions of Holy Communion, because non-Catholics are forbidden to receive Holy Communion, and they themselves are heretics by association and by communion, and they're also holding explicitly the heresy that Catholics are allowed to knowingly pray in communion with notorious heretics. So my point is, when we're seeing all of this, how much do you think these people love Jesus? They don't love him. They don't love him at all. Turn on the TV set and look at all these people singing carols. Go to these masses and sing. And Jesus says, you hate me. And I will tell you that if there's any hope for you, our Lord says he will chastise you. And St. Paul says in Hebrews 12:6-8, whom the Lord loveth, he chastises, and he scourges every son whom he receiveth. For if you be without chastisement, you are bastards and you are not his sons. As long as you're getting false consolations and your life is going real well, you think everything's good in your life, and you feel real confident that you're Catholic and he's not chastising you, you're bastards. You are absolute total bastards. I ask you to contemplate, what does our Lord mean when he says you're under the operation of error? That you would believe lying, that you would be consoled with false consolations. I tell anybody to read my book, Faith Before the Mass, especially the area on false consolations. Are you not aware of the fact that Protestants have false consolations? They call it being slain by the Spirit. All the Buddhists and New Agers get lifted up to, they think they're lifted up to heaven and get all this warm, cozy consolations. The Hindus call it nirvana, or whatever you want to call it, but it's all false. What I'm telling you people out here for this Christmas, stop crucifying our Lord by holding on to heresies. Stop crucifying our Lord by praying in communion with heretics. First you got to convert your soul and become Catholic yourself and profess all the dogmas. And that means you have to profess the faith to those who are heretics. You have to go in there and tell them, look, this is heresy what you believe in. You're a heretic. You're going to go to hell if you don't repent. That's your obligation. If you're not doing that and you're walking into the church and walking out of the church and deliberately avoiding these people, that's called affected ignorance. You don't want to hear what these people are believing because you know in your heart they're believing things you don't. You know are heresies. These are the people that are even worse. You're worse than a heretic. These real liberals in V2 don't even believe there is such a thing as a heresy. Now, they're bad. They deny the whole fact that there is such a thing as a heresy or a heretic. They're bad enough. But these traditionalists are hypocrites on top of it. Because they're admitting themselves that these people are holding to several heresies, but you're going into the churches and you're praying in communion with them and you're keeping your mouth shut. And you hear the stupid thing where people say, someone say, well, if the priest starts preaching it from the pulpit, well, then you have to get out of the church. Well, wait a second. Your obligation before you even go to that mass is to approach that priest, and especially in these days of the great apostasy, and inquire upon that priest as to what he believes in. St. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Try yourselves if you be of the faith, least perhaps you be reprobates. That means, Father, what do you believe in? That's why we have an abjuration I compose, a position paper. I want to know what you believe in before I go to mass to you. And because a notorious heretic does not have to pronounce his heresy to everybody. All he has to do is place his heresy in the public domain. He doesn't even have to publicly teach it to anybody yet. If he wrote a book and he published a book and he makes it available to people, but no one even brought that book yet, he's a notorious heretic. And if he hasn't published a book but professes that heresy to enough people, and there's only a few, like in a big city they say maybe 10 or 12 people, or he says it in the pulpit once, or he says it to about 12, 20 people in a room, they tell it to others, he's a notorious heretic. You don't have to go to Mass every Sunday and wait for him to preach it from the pulpit. For him to be a notorious heretic? I think this is some stupid thing what the Diamond Brothers are actually teaching. That would mean like if Will went to Mass one week, and the guy preached a heresy and he heard it, but I didn't hear it and I go the next week, he's not a notorious heretic to me, but he is to Will. So the guy stops being a notorious heretic as soon as Will leaves that church and some new people come in and never heard him. It's the stupidest thing in the world. They know that the SSP 10 church is denied a salvation dogma. Period. You know it. Call a priest up on the phone and let him tell you, bango, he's a notorious heretic. So what are they doing? I don't want... What did Brother Diamond say? That stupid idiot. Michael Diamond, that dummy. When we were going up to that stupid... when I was committing sins too with him in that Ukrainian church up there in St. Jehoshaphat in Rochester. He says, well, they speak Ukrainian, so if he's speaking any heresies from the pulpit, you won't hear them. Oh, genius that you are. What? Does that make the guy any less of a notorious heretic because you didn't hear it? And plus, that's even worse. You're sitting here saying amen and praying with this idiot. I'm telling you I'm centering on the people who call themselves Catholic. Not even Protestant schismatics. They're even worse. Our Lord said he came amongst his own and they knew him not. They received him not. They denied him. But I'm really warning all these people who think they're so good Catholics. They just feel real comfortable and nice because they have the true Mass. But they don't have the faith. They don't have the faith. Let's look, go on. And what are false devotions? And he talks about people that pray the rosary, that fast, do penance. You can do all these Catholic good things. But if you don't have the faith and your heart isn't right to obey God, God despises those things. There's 7 false devotions to Mary. That outwardly, 3 or 4 of them seem very pious. And these guys, nevertheless, are abominable to God. They pray the rosary so they can continue to go out and sin. For instance, a guy fornicated the night before, then he prays his rosary to be expiated from that sin. Then he says, good, now I can go out tonight and do it again. And pray another rosary tomorrow, and that'll expiate me. And then I can go out that night and commit another mortal sin and pray another rosary, and that'll expiate me. What are they really doing? They're turning the rosary into sin. They're saying, I'm praying the rosary so I can sin. This is a blasphemy. This is sacrilege, a misuse of a holy thing. This is what these people are doing who are going to Mass because they have the true Mass. And if the true Mass alone could save you without the faith, then how come it wasn't saving so many people before the great apostasy when all they had was the true Mass? And the reason the true Mass wasn't helping them because they lost the faith. And without the faith, the Mass isn't going to help you. You can't even come into the Catholic Church and be baptized unless you first profess the full deposit of the Catholic faith and live a moral life. All these people, they go to Mass, they all do this, but they don't have the faith. They're ignorant of mysteries of things divine that they need to know. Their devotions are false, their piety stinks. It rots to the high heavens because they have no knowledge of God. They're misusing these holy things. External devotions are useless if we do not cleanse our souls from sin. If we do not cast sin out of our souls, the tempest, that is, the scourge of God, will not cease. Behold, we have penitential exercises, novenas, and the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. But to what purpose are those if we be not converted, if we do not rid our souls of sin? The subject of our discourse is, external devotions are useless if we do not abandon our sins, because otherwise we cannot please God. And proof that your devotions are true is that you start abandoning sin, that you do convert, that you do repent. If you don't, then you're using those very things in an evil way. Now we go on here. Do we think that God is appeased by mere circumstance of our appearing at church without repenting of our sins, without avoiding those occasions of sin which keep us at distance from God? Ah, let us not mock the Lord. And now, do not mock, lest your bonds be tied straight, Isaiah 28:22. Do not mock God, says the prophet, lest those bonds which are securing you for hell be tied straight. Hear how the Lord says to you, who requires these things at your hands, Isaiah 1:12. Who requires your perpetual exercises and your visits of devotion in the church? I will have nothing from you unless you abandon sin. Offer sacrifice no more in vain. Go no more to these true masses that you think are making you feel pious unless you're willing to abandon all your sins. First starting out with the sins against the faith that you're committing. And I would say to these people, have you no shame that you sit in the church with these abominable reprobates, and you know they are, and you're saying amen with them, and this, and if you're not praying with them, why are you even going into the church? What's the purpose? What are you even doing in there? The mere fact that you're in there, you're guilty, even if you weren't praying with them. But you're not attending Mass if you're not praying. It's just, so you're praying in communion with these people, and on top of it, you're not professing the faith to them. If you went in there and did your obligation to profess the faith the way you had to, so as not to fall into mortal sin, if you went into a church that you thought was Catholic, but had a highly suspicion that I want to know what these people believe in, you're supposed to get out there and start questioning all the people in the precinct handing out flyers and brochures, and I'll tell you, I guarantee you, you'll be kicked out on that first day. They'll call the cops on you. The first priest will kick you out. You come back, they'll call the cops on you. You wouldn't be able to go back in that church. The mere fact that you can keep going back in the church tells me you're committing humongous sins of omission. Because you want to receive Jesus, but you want to sit next to people who tell you they hate Jesus. And in the meantime, you hate Jesus by sitting next to these people and giving them credence. Do you not understand how evil sins against the faith are? They're abominable to our Lord God. It was the cause of the fall away of all his chosen people. They always ended up losing the faith, and God ends up destroying them. You want to keep going in there, and I'm telling you, feel like you're being consoled. It's a false consolation from the devil. You will never know the true peace that Christ gives you unless you become a true Catholic. But I tell you right now, you're being deceived by these liars and these hypocrites. And our Lord hates a hypocrite more than anybody. And don't underestimate how evil hypocrisy is. That you can come out and say, I believe in this dogma, but I can be in religious communion with this guy who doesn't believe in the dogma, and we're both Catholics. How could you say such a thing? You're denying the whole deposit of the Catholic faith in one swoop. They all get into these stupid arguments of material form or heretic. All you need to know is if one person is professing a heresy, he's a heretic. Denounce him. Show him the truth. That's it. He's treated as a formal heretic. If he denies the basic dogma, he is a formal heretic. And if he's culpably denying a deeper dogma, he's a heretic. And if you know the guy and you show it to him, it's a done deal. He either accepts it or he doesn't. If he doesn't, then you know it. But the presumption is always notorious heretic. You never, ever pray in communion with a heretic. I don't care what kind of heretic he is. Your job is to turn the head of that heretic around so he don't believe it no more. And if he doesn't want to, what does that tell you about that guy? He says, Jesus talking about these people with putting the Mass before the faith, I will have nothing from you unless you abandon sin. Offer sacrifice no more in vain. Of what use are your devotions if you do not amend your lives? He's even talking about bad Catholics that were going to Mass and receiving sacrilegious communion and not mending their life. And a good priest will never give a bad Catholic absolution. If he knows he's continuing, he knows what that guy's doing. He says, I will no longer give you absolution because you haven't really received absolution validly anyway for all these times because you're not having a firm purpose of amendment. He says, our Lord says, my soul hateth your solemnities. He hates the fact that you're offering him on the altar and bringing him down in a heretical church and a schismatic church. He who eats the lamb outside of the Catholic Church is an abomination and a schismatic and a heretic. Our Lord abominates that, just like the Greek schismatics do. You go into a Greek schismatic church on any given Sunday when he's not preaching a heresy, and boy, those people look holy. They look holy. They sound holy. But they ain't holy at all. They're an abomination in the eyes of God. So I tell everybody out there, if God's not punishing you, chastising you, then boy, you're really not one of his. But maybe these words can get through to you. That I would have you to analyze your conscience and sit back and say, and I would tell any one of you, just do this next week when you go to your non-Catholic church that you think is a Catholic church, or like the stupid Diamond Brothers admit it's a non-Catholic church and still go. Speak to about three or just pick out five people from the flock and speak to them every week and ask them what they believe in. And you're going to find out you're praying in communion, notorious church. And I will tell you this first, before you pick out the people, go to the priest. Go into the sacristory. God gave you a mouth. You use your mouth to say all kinds of blasphemies and curses during the week and heresies, and you blabber push your mouth all over the place saying stupid things during the week, talking about dumb things. But you will not use the mouth God gave you to go in and say, hey, Father, come over here. I got some questions for you, buddy boy. Come over here. I want to know if you're Catholic. And the priest says you have no right to question him. You better run out of that church faster than you can even blink your eyes, because he who's not willing to profess the Catholic faith is not a Catholic. He is not a Catholic. And how hard is it for us to do that? We know, because we were all under that curse. I'm not being pious and trying to be holier than thou. I was where you were, you people out there. And I was committing grievous sins against God. He made me aware of it. And he showed me it. And it was the truth that set me free on these things. But you have to go in there and realize these things. God gave you a mouth. Don't sit there and say, well, I wonder what he believes, I wonder what he doesn't. Are you kidding me? We're in the days of the great apostasy, where the presumption is anybody who says he's a Catholic ain't a Catholic unless he proves it to me. Even in the days of the church before that, you had to. You realize in the early days of the church, I don't know how long this went on, but if you went to another diocese and the priest didn't know you, you had to present papers from your local parish priest that told that priest you're Catholic so you can receive Holy Communion. So these people, I'm giving you a warning. Stop listening to these bums that are taking canon laws out of context, theologians out of context, or they're teaching, or they're using the teachings of heretical theologians from the 19th and 20th century, and even the 18th century, to support you going into these churches and praying with these people. God will have none of it. The blind leadeth the blind, they both go into the pit. I think that's John 15:14 or Matthew 15:14. You got to accept that. There's a law upon your heart. You know that's not right. So what are you doing this Christmas? You're not consoling Jesus. You're crucifying them. And you're crucifying them worse than the Talmudic Jew and the Muslim. Because you're professing to believe in the infinite and you don't. And you're giving Catholicism a rotten, lousy name. People are going to even look at you and say, boy, you Catholics are hypocrites. I thought you got things called dogmas. How come you all believe in different things and you're all praying with one another? Isn't there like a penalty for any of this? I mean, can everybody believe whatever they want and you all go to the same church? What does St. Paul say? Be of one mind. Of one faith, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. See that there's no schisms or heresies among you. Right? And then it goes on, my soul hateth your solemnities. Know, says the Lord, that your homage and external devotions are hateful to my soul. Whilst you think by these to avert your chastisement without removing your offenses. With burnt offerings thou wilt not be delighted. A sacrifice to God is an afflicted spirit. Psalm 118. No devotions or alms or penitential works are acceptable of God from a soul in the state of sin and without repentance. God accepts the acts of him alone who is contrite for his sin and resolved upon changing his life. End quote. I'm just quoting, I'm just handing down to you what the church teaches. I have a whole bunch of teachings on what happens when you don't profess the faith. So I'm telling everybody out there, it really is, as our Lord told me, and the most of the world, that every time the Christmas comes around, it is really mostly a passion. They're crucifying the little infant. If they could take that little baby out of the crib and spit on him, smack him in the head, put a crown of thorns on that little infant, put him up on a cross and shove nails into it, like maybe some Talmudic Jews might blasphemously do, they're doing that, and they don't see it. You traditionalists, you Vatican tours, you say to be Catholics, almost every one of them after the whole heretics, you're doing that to Jesus. Oh, yes, you are. You're doing that to Jesus. You're just like the Jews during our Lord's first coming that turned their back upon him and received them not. You don't want to hear the words I'm speaking, and these words I'm speaking are truth. And because you will not hear the truth, which is the full deposit of the Catholic faith, which God has given us to preach to people, and God says, because you will not obey the truth, I will allow you to fall under the operation of error and to get a nice, cozy, successful feeling about yourself. He may even let them prosper in all their ways so they think they're doing real good, like the rich man who died and went to hell, and the poor man who has sores all over him, had dogs licking his sores, and he went to heaven. The Americanist dream brainwashes people to make you think that if you've got this prosperity, you're right. If you don't, you're wrong. That also mocks the very way our infant Jesus was born in the stable, even. So I'm telling all you people out there that have these, all you so-called Catholics, after which I call you nominal Catholics, you're not Catholic. If you're going to Mass anywhere, you're not Catholic. I don't know of any Catholic bishops or any Catholic priests in the whole world. This is prophesied to happen in the Holy Scriptures by apparitions from heaven and by the popes. We're living in the days, final days of the great apostasy, right before the Antichrist comes to power. God is only for those who wait upon Him in way of truth and justice and will not accept sacrifices offered by heretics or schismatics. They're abominable to our Lord God. You sit home and wait for God to send a priest, learn your faith, take an adjuration and come into the church and profess the full deposit of faith, and stop trying to play games with God, thinking that you can go into churches when people hold heresies and not open up your mouth and say anything. How are you giving glory to God that way? And how do you even love the heretic in the church if you don't tell him he's holding heresy? You don't even care about the people. Let's even talk. Christ came to save sinners. Heretics, apostates, Talmudic Jews. God loves them all. He wants to save them. How do you even love that guy in the church? This is just another thought that comes to me about a sin against charity. You go in this church and you say, well, 60% of the people in this church are holding explicit heresies. The rest are praying to God. Well, why don't you go up and talk to them? Isn't your duty to enlighten them and tell them they're heretics and they need what they need to be saved? No, you're going into the church and walking right out. At the same time, you're praying in communion with heretics, you're in association with them, you're committing sacrilege for receiving communion, you're witnessing sacrilegious receptions of communion, you're denying your obligation to profess the faith, and that canon law says when you do not profess the faith when you should, you implicitly deny the faith. You deny it. You deny it. And when you don't admonish the sinner, when you notice sinners in there, and you're praying with them, and you don't do it, you share in the guilt of a sin. And that's the way we share in the guilt of sinners, by silence, by being in communion with them. And not only is it bad enough that you're silent, you're praying with them. So they're going, he's one of us. If you walk into that church, what are all the people looking at you saying? He's one of us. He believes like one of us. Okay? So I'm giving all you people out there a way to save your souls. God hasn't chastised you yet because he put you under the operation of error. And it's only the truth again. And our Lord says that. He says, I allow this because they would not believe the truth but consented to iniquity. So how do you get out of this trap that God allowed you to fall under because of your own obstinacy and not believing the truth? Simply by believing in the truth. By all the dogmas of the Catholic Church. Don't let anybody start arguing with these stupid arguments about formal material heretics. Anybody who teaches a heresy is a heretic, and you got to denounce them as a formal heretic and get away from them. End of discussion. If that's not true and nobody can make that judgment, then it's chaos. Laymen have no way to make these judgments, and they're going to be perpetually in communion with all types of heretics with no way to get out. It's an illogical thing. It's a thing people have done because they're justifying their sins. They want to continue to go to Mass and pray in communion with heretics. All these people out there are such hypocrites that when God looks upon earth, I will tell you now, these nominal Catholics, God abhors them absolutely the worst than any creature in the whole face of the earth, just like he did with the apostate Jews during his first coming. And boy, I tell you, you can't say I haven't been warning you. And if you don't want to listen to me, then God ain't going to hear you. And it's not because just Richard Ibrani's teaching this. It's because I'm teaching the full deposit of the Catholic faith. I got all the dogmas to back it up. And it's even common sense. And I will even tell you that even pagans who aren't Catholic can detect your hypocrisy. So stop it now before it's too late. You don't please the infant Jesus. You crucify him every time Christmas comes around. End of sermon.
This recording is produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. Visit our St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us or email me, Richard Joseph Michael Ibrani, at rjmi@johnthebaptist.us or send for a catalog to the just mentioned address.